The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Right now, we're joined by John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom can now custom fit you for the new GT medals from Titleist or the new Apex irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall and winter golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How is everybody?
We are doing well. Let's lead off with the baseball team that you have supported for many, many years, the New York Mets. They land the big fish, Juan Soto, 15 years, $765 million. How surprised were you? And also, how surprised were you that he signed with the Mets instead of the Yankees? Because that usually doesn't happen when both teams are bidding on a player.
Yeah, you're right. I was surprised. I thought all along that Boris would, you know, bid it up and then eventually sign him with the Yankees. But Boris proved again that he doesn't care about anything other than the money. And Soto, same way. Soto's been the same way as long as he's been with Boris. And, you know, I am happy. I'm looking forward to seeing Soto in a Mets uniform and see how the Mets can play coming off of their very good season without Soto. But I have a little bit of mixed emotions. The Mets becoming the Yankees. Huh. And I've never liked the Yankees, never pulled for the Yankees. I like Brian Cashman personally, but I'm happy, but I'm sort of in a wait-and-see mode. See how he does, see how the team performs with him in the middle of the lineup.
Are the Mets fans going crazy up there after this signing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. It's Juan Soto. It's a 26-year-old guy who's already a proven star, already, you know, practically a Hall of Famer already, had a great season with the Yankees, proved that he could deal with New York pressure, which was very important, obviously. Most Mets fans are over the moon over this, and understandably, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, the number is just crazy. 700. You know, we were hearing stories about 550, 600, right, maybe 610. You know, and there's three or four teams involved, so highest bidder probably wins. But, man, 765? It can go higher if he doesn't opt out.
And a suite.
Yeah. The number's crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but the numbers in all of sports are crazy today, Jason. I mean, Shohei Ohtani signed for $700 million just last year. Mm-hmm. Look at what Bill Belichick's getting: $10 million a year plus $20 million in NILs. I mean, the numbers are just out of control in all of sports, and you know, it's what the market will bear, and the market will bear $765 million for Soto.
It's crazy. Yeah, let's talk about Belichick for a second. I think we asked you about it last week, and it's kind of the rumors. Right. Everybody was sort of in denial and just didn't see a scenario where that would play out. I actually love the fact that he's doing it. I have no idea if he'll succeed or not, but I just like the fact that just, you know, he doesn't follow the narrative. He does what he wants to do, and I respect the hell out of that.
Well, I think he was getting vibes that he wasn't going to be offered an NFL job. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he was getting absolutes that he wasn't being offered an NFL job.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that he wanted to go back and win, what is it, 14 more games to pass Shula?
I think it was more than that. But
yeah. I can double-check the number. It's right around
it might
there.
Might be 16. But, you know, we all have egos. Belichick clearly has an ego. So I would think his first choice would have been to go back to the NFL. But when that didn't seem to be working out, he said, all right, okay, screw you guys. I'll go to North Carolina. And the interesting thing is the ACC has been trying to become a football league for more than 30 years now. Just keeps adding mediocre football programs and downgrading itself in basketball along the way. I mean, it's been a disaster in my mind. Now they finally have a program that's going to get national attention that's, you know, you would think – would succeed, that Belichick will attract good players. Belichick will have a good coaching staff. He will coach them up himself. And you would think Carolina will finally be the program that the ACC has dreamed of having. I mean, Florida State was good for a long time. It's clearly fallen off. Clemson has been good for a long time. Even though it's in the playoff, it's clearly fallen off. And the rest of the ACC are what I call 6-6 schools, including Carolina. You know, where you go 6-6 and you brag that you made a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes 7-5, whatever. But it's clearly not part of the national picture. Carolina will be part of the national picture with Belichick coaching and with the money that they're putting into the program. I don't know where they're getting this money. I mean, they're investing $30 million basically right off the top. I don't know where they're getting this money, but apparently there are enough rich Carolina people out there to make this happen.
John, according to Wiki, Belichick trails Shula by 26. Shula has 328,
okay.
Belichick 302. George Halas in between them at 318.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe I was thinking about Halas to get to number two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's still, what, 2-3 seasons of decent football. And you would think that if he's signing a five-year contract with Carolina, he would have signed a 5-year contract somewhere else.
So you're not buying
the NFL opportunity.
You're not buying that it was something that kind of he was always intrigued by.
No, I'm really not buying it. I'm buying the fact that he was made one hell of an offer by Carolina and he took it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, college connection has always been Navy. Because his dad coached at Navy for, I think 34 years. It was a long time.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was still there when I was around doing a Civil War and then, you know, doing the broadcast of the games afterwards. So when he and I would talk over email, it was usually about Navy. I can't remember North Carolina ever coming up in any sort of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
John, so you touched on Navy. Army-Navy is tomorrow, and it's here. It's in Landover. It's the 125th matchup, and there's extra buzz because the teams have combined for 19 wins this season, the highest total ever entering this storied game. So there's a lot of eyeballs on this game.
Well, I would hope so. Both teams have had very good years. Army won the American Athletic Conference in its first year in the conference, beat up on Tulane in the championship game, which surprised the heck out of me,
because
Tulane had beaten up on Navy a couple weeks earlier at Navy. So they've had an amazing season. They have a great quarterback in Bryson Daly, who will just, most plays, he's just going to take the ball and he's going to run right up the middle and dare somebody to stop him. He's a big, strong guy. He runs through tackles. And Navy now has their quarterback, Blake Corbath, who was brilliant for the first six games until he got hurt, and now is back healthy. He didn't play in the East Carolina game 2 weeks ago, but he's healthy and ready to go tomorrow. And it should be Army Navy is almost always a great game. The last 2 years, the Army won after Navy fumbled on the goal line and they kicked the winning field goal in double overtime. And last year, they held Navy on the goal line again, trying to go in for a potential tying score. So that's the kind of game you expect when Army plays Navy. But as you said, there's more at stake nationally this year because of the team's records. This is the first time since 1996 that both teams have clinched bowl bids going into this game, and it should be a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun.
And by the way, Valdez making his second appearance at the Army Navy game.
Yeah, I'm a huge Army Navy guy, John. I went to my first one at the Link 2 years ago.
Yep,
and I'm hooked. Every college football fan needs to experience the game in person once. It makes you feel very patriotic. It's an awesome experience.
It is. You're right, Matt. I have agreed with you for 30 years now. It's the only game when they play the national anthem and you look around and you say 8,000 hands, 4,000 cadets, 4,000 midshipmen, snap to salute position, that you get chills during the national anthem. At least for me. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for me. And when they play the alma maters at the end of the game, and the two teams stand together for the playing of each other's alma mater, it's an absolute chill moment every year. When I did the games on radio, I would tell Bob Soucy, who was the play-by-play guy, to give me a minute after the playing of the anthems of the alma maters, because I needed it to sort of recover emotionally, because it's such a stunning moment every year. Regardless of who wins the game or whether the game's close or not, you get that feeling because you know the players have that feeling.
There's grown men crying in the stands. Even before the kickoff, you have people dropping in, parachuting in, and it's a contest. There's five people from each side, and they got to try and land on the 50-yard line. Everything's very competitive. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Everyone needs to experience it.
Even the march-ons are competitive because the Army guys march better than the Navy guys. The Navy guys like to say, we don't do a lot of marching on when we're on ship. Mm. And the Army guys practice their marching all year. The Navy guys practice their marching the week of the game. And you can see the difference. The Navy guys almost look casual marching on compared to the Army guys. And you're right. Everything is competitive. Who wins the march on? Who comes up with the more clever saying when they exchange prisoners, transfer students, before the start of the game? It's a unique experience. And when people say to me, you know, why do you make such a big deal out of Army and Navy? I say, like you, Matt, go to the game once. Just go to the game once and then come back and tell me that it's not special.
Yeah,
Eric Bickle, go to the game once. I'm throwing stones in glass houses.
Right, I've never been to the game
either. I would go.
I should go.
I've been to Navy football games
before.
Because
the opportunities are here. It's in Landover tomorrow. It's in Baltimore in 2025. There's no excuse not to go to at least one of them.
And, John, you mentioned Daly. I mean, Ashton Gentry for Boise State obviously had a fantastic year. Rushed for 2,500 yards and 29 rushing touchdowns. But Bryson Daly has 29 rushing touchdowns. I mean, he's had an unbelievable
year. And passing touchdowns.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's been brilliant. I say this every few years when Army or Navy has a great player. Why wouldn't the Heisman Committee invite that player to helicopter to New York after the playing of the game and be a part of the Heisman ceremony? It only raises, you know, the quality of the ceremony to have one of those kids be there. And Bryson Daly, like you said, Jason, has the numbers to be invited.
Yeah, he's having a great year, yeah. He's averaging almost 6 yards per carry, so... do you think Army wins?
I don't know. I honestly think Navy is back healthy. They had a stretch there where they were banged up and did not play well. They bounced back and played really well in the second half against East Carolina with their backup quarterback playing because Horvath sat out. And I just see this as another game that's going to come back down to who gets the last turnover or who has the ball last. I my son for years has asked me, who do we root for when Army plays Navy? And I always say, whomever is behind. So that's the way I watch the game.
Hmm. All right, so before we let you go, your thoughts on the Commander-Saints on Sunday. The Saints are just banged up. They're going to start a backup quarterback making his first start. Alvin Kamara, their best offensive player, he's been sick all week, so he's a question mark.
I mean, to me, this is a lot like the Commanders Cowboys game when I predicted that the Commanders would win easily and lost the game. And this is a game they should win fairly easily. Like you said, the Saints are banged up. The Commanders are healthy. As long as Jaden Daniels is healthy, I think the Commanders can play with anybody, and I certainly think they can play with these guys.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John, thank you for the call. Good to talk to you. We will talk to you again next week. That's John Feinstein. Have a good weekend.
All right. See you, bud.
Thanks. You guys, too.
Thank you.
That's John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, we're going to take your predictions. We'll give our official predictions
on cakes. Come on.
Commanders Saints as they're coming out of the bye week. They're traveling down to Drab's favorite city in the United States of America, aside from Seattle, of course. That would be New Orleans. Shot Drab didn't stow away with Grant and Danny, who are heading down to New Orleans yesterday. They'll be broadcasting live from there, I believe, starting today. 800-636-1067. We'll get your official predictions on Commander Saints and give ours next here on The Fan.